Welcome back to another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bypackers. It's super cold outside. There's no bourbon because it's 10:55 a.m. this morning. And it's so cold. We've had this string of super cold weather. It's been like -9, and that's actual temperature, not the wind chill. But today, it's currently about 0 degrees, and it's going to have a high of like 7. So it's a great time to talk about cycling.
Yeah.
So we're here again with Jerry. And we're going to talk today about the Kentucky Bourbon Country Burn, which I originally thought was around Louisville, but is actually around Lexington after Jerry corrected me, which he has to do often. It's around Lexington, right?
Yep. It's not far from Louisville, but yeah. It technically is Lexington as I look at the map.
Very good. This was 2018 ride that we did. And we really should go back and do it again because, number one, the title of this podcast is about bourbon. And by golly, that's what we did a lot of while we were there. Yeah. Although, I went back and watched these videos. There's a series of videos on my YouTube channel from the 2018 time era, which is, I was interested. I know it's how long ago it was, but YouTube says it's five years ago, which is coming up on 6, I guess. But
yeah.
Man, the time goes by so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at those videos, just remembering how beautiful that countryside is. We were there. You looked this up. I couldn't remember. The videos came out in October, but we were there the very end of September, correct?
Yep. 9:28 to 9:30, I think.
Yeah. This is about a 3-day ride. And when we were there, we had varying temperatures then. I thought that was kind of interesting when I looked back. We had mornings in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But in the daytime, at times it was getting anywhere from 70 to 80 degrees. During the daytime, during that ride. The things that I remember back about was we stayed at this horse track, right?
Yeah, the Kentucky Horse Park, which is huge.
Yeah, really big place where it's a park, has a horse track, and all kinds of horse-related activities are done there.
Mm-hmm.
Big place. And I just remember everybody was camping in this park.
A lot of RVers, too.
A lot of RVers, a lot of tent campers. Real good combination of people. And we got there kind of late after dark.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching back from the video that we actually set up our tents in the dark that evening and crashed and got up for day one. And on day one, the morning temperature was like 50 degrees, like we were saying, something like that. And the high that day was only supposed to be 70. And when we got up, if you remember looking back at that, it was super foggy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually a delayed start
because
they didn't want cyclists going out riding with the fog. Because they do have, I think it's 3 different courses that you can choose from that day.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that I remembered back about as well was that, do you remember that they painted these bottles on the ground? They were like bourbon bottles?
On the asphalt. Yeah.
On the asphalt. Yeah. And they were different colors. It would be like red, blue, or yellow, I think, or something like that. And that was like what told you the direction to go and which length of ride you were doing that day. And they would have like a 10 or 15 mile. They would have like a 50 mile. And then they'd have a century, like 100 mile.
Yeah.
But the bottle would point in a direction when you needed to make a turn. Like, hey, if you're on the blue course, you got to turn here.
Yeah. Bottle be turned to the left.
Yeah. So that was actually a very cool way to kind of like lay out a course that was unique, but also distinctive to the bourbon theme. I really thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was slick. That really was kind of well done.
Yeah. So back then in 2018, I was reminded that you had, must have just gotten the Fargo right about that time.
Yeah.
Because everything on it outside of just a rack and stuff was pretty stock. Had the original tires and wheels that came with it, the original drivetrain, and even the caliper drop bars on.
Yep. And I had this crazy blue bar tape.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And I was riding the FX3 then, and we loaded them up on the Honda Accord I had at that time. Mm-hmm. And we hauled out there and just threw everything in the trunk and slept in tents in this whole 9 yards. But that first day was foggy.
Yeah. Kind of a delayed start. And for safety, you know, there's always some dudes up there chomping at the bit, kind of sneaking out early before they cut everyone loose, you know. Especially those folks that are doing the long ride of the day.
Yeah, they want to get started so they can finish up. Yeah. That first day for us, we chose the 50-mile route. And I remember back after watching the video that 50 miles, mm-hmm. when we got to day two, we paid the price a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We had some tendonitis and
yeah,
some IT band stuff. I remember us talking about that in the videos. But the first day, we kind of rode all over a little bit, but we wound up in Midway, Kentucky, was the name of the town that I looked at. And we didn't really do any distilleries that first day that I had recorded anyway. If we did, I don't remember anything on day one. But we did have lunch at this in Midway, Kentucky, this place called the Goose and Gander, and we did have bourbon there.
Yeah.
Had a little bourbon in the coffee.
Yeah.
There's a few. I remember doing a little bit of Instagram slow motion video of Jerry pouring some bourbon into his coffee. We just had a burger and some chili and some stuff like that, some Brussels sprouts, just had a little bit of everything. And there were a whole bunch of bikers there in this little town.
Yeah.
We kind of sat outside on this little patio and with a bunch of other cyclists and ate a lunch. But that first day was like just a real introduction to the Kentucky hillside
mm-hmm.
country, you know, and stuff. And it's just, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a couple things that, you know, the hills and the sort of the Civil War era fence rows, they're just really cool to see the stonework and all that stuff.
They have these rock walls there.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like, you know, maybe they were cleaning rocks out of the fields and used them to stack them up and make walls out of them.
Yeah.
But these horse farms are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They're opulent.
And
opulent. Like palatial.
Really, like, either nice stone walls or they have these beautiful wood fencing that, and maybe some of it's PVC now, but a lot of it looks like traditional wood fencing. It'll either be a dark brown color or it'll be white.
Yeah.
It's like, that's about the only two colors you'll see. But some of these horse stables and barns are, they look like really nice houses. They're so nice. So if you haven't had a chance to see that, check it out.
There are a couple things I think about with that, that ride is, you know, it's so hilly. I mean, it's lovely. It's beautiful.
It is.
But you're hill after hill and you climb to the top and then you're like, well, this is pretty. I'm going to stop here and, quote, take a picture, but you're really rested.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You know,
when we're coming from the flatlands here in Missouri, mostly, we ride the Katy Trail, which is about as flat as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And so to ride out there is a totally different experience.
Yeah.
It really is rolling hills, but it's gorgeous. I mean, there's some drone footage in those videos. If you get a chance to go out, if the listener gets a chance to go out and watch them, there's some drone footage of, you know, cyclists down a paved highway, but with horses running beside them.
Yeah,
You know, and stuff that just happened to catch. It looks like it's almost staged, but it was just totally random that it caught some cyclists and the horses running beside them. And crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really pretty out there. It's hilly.
Yeah, yeah. It's rewarding that way, too. It's not only the scenery, but, you know, when you've climbed a hill and then you get to kind of rest and go on the downhill and really...
Yeah,
really eat up some pavement at a high speed. You sort of like, you know, just it's kind of rewarding.
Yeah, we were both younger and in better shape.
Oh yeah,
than
yeah.
we are now for sure.
Yeah,
right. And I can't imagine if we went to do it again, I'd really have to work and get in shape again.
Yeah,
because even 50 miles of that is it's a whole lot different than riding 50 miles here.
Oh yeah, flats. Yeah. And you know, even if you stop a little bit, it's a long day.
It is.
You know, I also was thinking about this after that lunch, that fantastic lunch. It was a large lunch.
It was.
And this is where I first started realizing, you know, it's hard to jump back on the bike after a real nice heavy meal.
Well, with booze included and things like that. Yeah. There's not a lot of motivation to get back on a bicycle and ride after that.
Yeah.
All you want to do is kind of sit there.
Sit there and kind of sit in the sun and digest like an alligator.
Right. Exactly. Which is kind of what we did day two, actually. It's funny.
Yeah.
We kind of blew ourselves out on day one, and day two we wound up taking it pretty easy. We looked at it and we're like, you know what? Maybe we'll just do the shorter ride today. Whatever the color of the bottle on the ground was, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But on day two we rode this Legacy Trail. That's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, I think 12 miles or something like that. I don't remember the total distance, but it was relatively short because there were frequent stops.
Yeah, frequent stops and purchases.
Yeah, so several of them, there were several different distilleries, but the one that we kind of had documented was Bluegrass Distillery.
Yeah.
Or Bluegrass Distillers, I think was what it was called. This is a really small kind of, it's a thing you figure out, or there are a lot of very small, almost small batch style.
Yeah, kind of craft distillers, it seems like.
Yeah, and a lot of these, and there was a little bit of a story to this that came back to me after watching the video. I didn't really talk too much about it, but that particular distillery was started by a couple of attorneys in the Lexington area who just decided they wanted to do some bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because you and I have talked about how fun that would be to just have like
a
small distillery and just make some kind of a liquor. And bourbon obviously is much more intensive than things like vodka that we've joked about. But this was started by a couple of local attorneys, and they only did like a certain number of barrels per year. It was small. I think it was like 50 or something like that. But anyway, what was memorable about that, and we captured in the video, was you could fill your own bottle at this distillery. And you actually wound up purchasing a bottle, filling it out of the bottom of this cask where they have this like little pit cock that you can like stick your own bottle in there.
Yeah.
You get to put your own label on and all this stuff. And they actually heat shrink wrap it right there while you're there. And then we put it on the bike and took off with it, at least back to the camp, the park where we were camping. But that was really fun.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. Here's what's funny is I do remember making a few purchases those 3 days, and they had a Sherpa service that they would ship stuff back, if you wanted to. I think I bought a shirt or two, different things, and it was really well organized. But that was a really cool tour, and I seem to recall that being the one I just enjoyed the most. And we've been on some before and since.
Yeah,
and I think that was just a real. I don't know, just a real friendly, low-key.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of people riding that trail that day.
Right.
And so we didn't have a lot of competition when we got to these small distilleries. Yeah. And they were really cool because a lot of them were right along this bike path. And you could just pull off and just like kind of stand your bike up against the side of the building and walk inside.
Yeah.
And it might be in a row of buildings that had other little shops, but there would be this little small bourbon distiller right there in the middle. And I remember I was talking to this guy, and he just kind of told us the history and the story, and we got a little bit of a background on it. And of course, lots of samples.
Tastings, right?
There's a lot of samples and tastings that happen on these deals, and so you're gonna get your money's worth in samples.
Yeah.
And even I remember that at the when you get back to the park, they would have these tents with all the different bourbon distillers would be there handing out more free samples back at the camp where we were camping at.
Yeah, it's funny. There's almost like a little kind of economy there because you get these tokens or stamps or I guess tickets, whatever, for your, for your tastings back at the camp. But then it always seems like if I had four, I ended up with six.
Right.
Somehow.
Yeah, they were generous, let's just say.
yeah.
Because they knew, I think they realized that this crowd was going to buy some bottles and or cases and take them home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think
and we did quite a bit. We wound up buying a lot of stuff. And I think, some of the smaller craft stuff, it didn't seem outrageous or anything. It was really good.
Yeah.
That was a fun place, though. And we actually wound up doing an outdoor lunch that day, too, in that same area. And that's what's memorable about that is I had some video of that, but you had a giant plate of poutine.
Yeah, I remember that. Poutine, not from Canada, but from Kentucky.
Kentucky poutine, which is probably lousy by comparison to the real thing, I'm sure. Yeah. But it looked good in the video. Yeah. I remember looking at it thinking, man, that actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it was good, but it was kind of hard to get back on the bike. But I mean, I was exhausted that day, but that's a different kind of meal.
It's true. But it was a really cool little place. And again, most of these are outdoor, kind of centric along this legacy trail. You can just park your bike or stand it up against a rack or whatever. There was a lot of bike racks, so it was very bike friendly.
Yeah.
And then it was all mostly outdoor seating that I had in that video anyway. And we sat outside and the weather was beautiful that time of year.
Weather was fantastic. Yeah.
So you just can't go wrong when you've got food, bicycling, and bourbon and a beautiful weather and countryside.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect combination.
It was. It was, like, yeah, it was just idyllic. You know, yeah. It was almost like, you know, you had to wait, you had to spend 10 days to find three perfect days in that 10-day period. But these were just Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. And this was, you know, kind of all around that Lexington area. This was more probably within the city limits that I remember area. We didn't really go out to any outside towns then. But we did, after leaving there, make a quick kind of pass through Transylvania University, which if you're not familiar with that, it's this old kind of small little college that's in Lexington.
Yeah, and you can't pass that up for the name.
The name was enough to catch our attention. It was like, hey, let's ride over here and at least look at it.
You know what? If I were to go back, I'd have to demand I leave there with a T-shirt, but I don't think I came away from there with any swag.
Yeah, I don't remember us getting any swag, but that sounds like something we'll have to do if we do it again. We should definitely do it again, I think.
I think
it'd be a fun ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That whole trip was just really, again, it was early in the sort of my Fargo days, and it sort of really... got me thinking about organized rides.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it had the traditional SAG stops where you'd stop and they'd have, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich or pickle juice and, you know, just all the normal SAG kind of items. And that was kind of my first experience with SAG stops and that idea. So you get snacks and little things along the way.
Yeah.
It's really kind of, it's interesting when you're riding out there because things I remember are, it was mostly paved, if not all paved.
Yeah.
It was a lot of two-lane highway back Kentucky back country kind of roads. But if you're in Kentucky, many of those back roads around those horse farms are all paved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you had a pretty heavy mix of road cyclists on that one. That's one of the things I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we were kind of the outliers with our bags and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, story of my life. I'm a little bit of an outlier.
Right.
But yeah, I would imagine, though, some of these folks, even this is a pricey ride, you know, but you get a lot for it. And I would bet a lot of those folks are using that as kind of training rides, just the hills.
For sure.
Because you can't find that just anywhere.
That's true. And this is really, truly a hub and spoke kind of ride. You basically are stationed up or manned up at this horse park, and then you go different routes from there each day in a different route. So it's kind of nice. You're not riding the same thing every day, and you're always kind of coming back to your base camp, which is a really nice thing for people who aren't used to traditional bike packing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, you can still camp, but you're not carrying all your gear with you to the next location.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, because of the weather, the temperature shift each day, you kind of have to have a plan for, you know, how you're going to carry your layers, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That first day we started out, we were wearing hats and you know, jackets and everything and pants.
And you took the drones. You had some cargo, you know.
And then it would be, as the day went on and it warmed up, you'd have to peel those layers off and you'd be down to shorts and T-shirts and in some instances sweating your butt off.
Yeah.
You know, by the end of the day. So you've got a little bit of variety of temperature and possibility.
You know, it's funny. I looked at the pictures or something, and I had flip-flops strapped to my rack.
Yes.
On that ride. I mean, it's the strangest thing. Why did I think I needed that? Don't know. I wasn't riding in sandals at that time.
Right.
So just kind of
those were probably your you know, bathroom flip-flops or something.
Yeah.
You took them with you just in case.
Pretty funny, yeah. That's a bizarre little thing to remember. You know, the other thing I remember, I remember the fire pits at night were cool because, you know, after you get your, there were food trucks, good food, so, you know, you had to pay for that. And then you get your bourbon samples, sit around the fire, kind of just talk to people.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yep, for sure. The third day and the final day really was another 50-ish miles ride that we did. And that was, we actually rode out to Paris, Kentucky, was the little town. You can look all these things up on the map and see it if you're interested. I'm sure if you go to the Bourbon Country Burn website, they've got route maps and things like that. But this was what was going on back then. We went to Paris, Kentucky, and we visited and toured Hartfield Distillery was one we went to. and had lunch at this place called the Windy Corner Market, which is just outside Lexington. And we had a pretty good lunch there. We sat outside again, a lot of outside eating. And it was 80 degrees that day. It was just so nice for that final day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just a good ride. I mean, I remember we went to some other distilleries, but I didn't have a lot of them documented.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I'm pretty sure I bought something at several. I could probably go back over my old credit card receipts and reconstruct a little, like a purchase route.
Because I think we did go to the place that bottled Four Roses. There were some other distilleries along mm-hmm. the way we went to, but I just didn't document them, and I don't have them all. We mm-hmm. did go to, I do know we went to Jephthah Creed,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because I got a shot glass from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so there were other distilleries that we went to that just weren't as well documented. That's why it's so important for us to do these kind of things.
Yeah.
To kind of document them. I was reminded as I go back through these, the power of having photo and video and all those things is because you can go back and so easily recreate these memories if you have that stuff. And if you don't, it's really hard to remember. You're like, gosh, what did we do? Because we've been a fair number of places, not as many as a lot of people, but for us, trying to remember all those things that we did and where did we go?
Yeah.
Gosh, look how skinny I was back then. That's what I kept thinking while I looked
yeah.
back at it.
Yeah.
Time to get back in shape.
Yeah, for sure. A little convicting. but the other thing that's worth mentioning, too, is, you know, when you go back, depending on how you have your phone set up, I just like the way that these things will show you almost even a map of where you were when you took that picture. I mean, what the data that's captured on these smartphone cameras is really kind of unbelievable. I'll tell you the time of day you took it and
geography.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It makes it easier to recreate some things. But again, I realized when I wasn't taking pictures of things. And this kind of convicts you to take a little bit more of a photographic journal.
Yeah, I think just documenting what you're doing is so powerful. And I mean, for all the negatives to social media, which we've all seen and heard and sometimes hate, one of the most positive things that you and I have talked about multiple times is how nice that whole memories function of Facebook is, as much as Facebook's a total shit show.
Yeah.
The memories function is really one of its more powerful things.
Yeah.
It's being able to look back and see these things pop up and go, oh my gosh, that was 10 years ago or 9 years ago, how time flies. It's one of the smart things that they did.
I'm gonna show you this picture of one I took on that trip in Paris. It's a Co-Motion touring rig.
That's in the video, actually.
Is it? Yeah, this is awesome, this rig. Somebody's got the joints, what do you call these, to fold the frame?
To take the frame apart. I forget what they call them.
Couplers. Some kind of couplers, yeah. And it's a roll-off with the gates, and they've got, looks like he's got some kind of a rig up front there. So,
yeah, we did see some beautiful bikes out there. But that was a beautiful Co-Motion cycle.
Yeah, you got a couple decimal points on that one, too.
Yeah, it was red. It was really pretty sexy.
Yeah. That's the fun part, too, is just looking at bikes, looking at people that have different rigs, different gear.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. I could just sit around. Like some people watch. I could just bike watch.
It's no different than a car show or where people actually drive the cars. So these people actually ride the bikes. It's the same kind of a thing. Everybody's going around looking at the rig and the setup and how did you do this and how did you do that? And
yeah.
Now, you get a lot of lookers at yours because of the crazy handlebars and all the stuff on it.
Usually. Yeah.
That's
what
people find, particularly road cyclists, look at that, our stuff and go, holy cow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And now, you know, when we're riding and you're on the ECR, you know, those big tires get a lot of attention, those fat tires.
Yeah.
You know, I've had skinnier ones these days. I'm about 2.1 inches. You know, back here when I was doing that, I think I had probably had 2.7 or something.
Yeah, that was the factory 2.7s, I think.
Yeah.
It's big. They're big and cushy.
Big bouncy tires.
I remember people commenting about that stuff too. You know, anytime the road cyclists would see somebody with a big tire dirt, you know, bike or a mountain bike or something, they would be like, oh, man, look at that.
Yeah.
You're going to be turning some tread today or something, you know.
Yeah. 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 They used to give you kind of a, like a congratulatory nod, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they're not laughing. They're actually giving you the well done kind of thing. Yeah. Cool bike to bring on a trip like this or whatever, because many people will be riding a skinny road bike.
Yeah. Well, and I used to sort of, in my mind, dispute the effect of, you know, rolling resistance and wind resistance. And if you look into it a little bit more, I mean, it's much more of a factor than you think.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And so I recognize that I'm making a sacrifice by riding that kind of a setup. But it's comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I was getting ready to say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're willing to sacrifice the speed and the efficiency for the comfort.
Yeah.
Particularly the older you get, the more you're like, yeah, I don't really need to be there in any hurry. And yeah. I'm not into racing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Besides, I catch them on the downhill with all that mass.
That's right. Gravity helps us out on the downhills. Hurts on the way up, though.
It sure does.
And you're going to have a lot of that in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I did recently, I think I talked about this in the last podcast, I got an email from them that they are opening registration up soon for the next year. So if you have interest in doing the Kentucky Country, Bourbon Country Burn, I'll get it right in a minute. There's a website and everything for it, and you can go get yourself registered. It's a great time. I mean, we had a blast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely right.
Even though I don't remember us particularly being well in shape well for that ride.
Yeah.
You can still choose the shorter days and still have just as much fun.
Yeah.
You can go to all kinds of distilleries around that area. There are so many distilleries.
Yeah.
And probably more now than there were even when we were there.
Well, it makes you bookend your trip too. If you're road tripping it, you might add a day on either end or both to see some of the distilleries that are a little bit more farther removed because there's so much to see out there.
For us, I think it was about, from Columbia, it was about 6.5 hours or something like that
of
drive to get out there. But it's pretty much interstate the whole way for us.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't terrible to get out there. And then I think that last day, the only thing was just packing up, you know.
Yeah.
You had to get back and tear down all your tent and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that can be a hassle, but
it was a good time. I'd totally consider doing it again.
And you might want to actually wait till you get back, because then the dew will have taken care of itself.
Yeah, which is what we did. We waited because that time of the year, it's pretty wet in the mornings, particularly even those mornings with fog. It was almost ridiculous how damp everything was.
Yeah.
But we had a great time. Totally would do it again.
Yep.
Any other memories you have from that trip?
No. Well, it was cool on the way back. We kind of made a little more of a road trip on the way back. Saw some friends of yours that had some farmsteading and if people road trip, I would encourage you to try and build in the time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We went out to this farm. Some friends of mine had a farm out there. They put us on some kind of a ATV, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. We drove around. They had cows and goats and all kinds of stuff.
Big old Great Pyrenees dogs.
Big dog.
Yeah.
And we just toured their farm and then made our way back to Como. But yeah, it was a great time. And they've since moved from there. They now live in Arkansas, actually, which may be another reason to visit them.
Right.
They're in northwest Arkansas. We should go down there and
ride
some more hills and go see the Troyers again.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up. I hope that was helpful and everybody enjoyed it. That's the Kentucky Bourbon Country Burn, Lexington area, generally in the fall. I didn't look up this year. I'm assuming it's probably the same general time period. But most of the time, it's late September. And check it out on their website. We are everywhere that podcasts are distributed. If you get an opportunity, leave us a comment on Spotify, or if you want to leave a review, that's always helpful. Spotify is really nice about giving us the ability to just have comments now, which is very much like YouTube videos per episode. We always enjoy hearing back from you guys. So leave us a comment if you want, and we will catch you in the next episode.